I cannot stress enough how, as a franchisor, having someone with vision is obviously important, but having a team of experienced franchisor professionals that have lived the life that can help you see it through, how important that is.
All right. Welcome back to the Pursuit of Profit podcast, the show that explores the brands, the founders, and what's shaping the future of franchising. Today, we're joined by Zach Butler, the CEO behind Jungle Driving, the first of its kind student driver franchise in a fragmented, outdated industry. This is a $1.7 billion market cap and a CAGR, a compounded annual growth rate, nearing 15%. The driving school space is revving up, and Zach wants to lead it. We'll unpack how Jungle Driving is modernizing driver education. Their standout, Item 19, averaging $600,000 a year in revenue with a 20% net margin. Zach's also a huge advocate for the Entrepreneurial Operating System, EOS. And we'll talk about how Traction plays a central role in their franchisee success. All right, let's hit the road, learn more, and I hope you enjoy the show. He's back. The man is back. It's good to have you back.
You look good.
You look better. You look better.
It's good to see you, man.
Yeah, same here. How you been? It's been a while.
Gosh, you know, it's been a journey, man. But little whippersnappers are getting big and old, and everything's coming together, and another new venture kicking off.
Well, welcome back. Returning guests. Can't thank you enough for taking the time out. I know you're building yet another brand, right? So Jungle Driving, very unique. I'm glad to mix it up on the show, too. This is something that I won't probably present twice, right? This is a one and only brand that I'm aware of in the space that is franchising it. So why don't we give you the floor? How did you get involved in this? Sounds like you divested yourself from other business interests, and now you went all in here. How did you get here? What's going on with Jungle Driving?
Yeah, so I'll tell you. I got introduced through a retired franchise consultant, and he said, "Hey, are you looking for other brand opportunities?" I said, "Always, you know, always open for opportunities." And he said, "How about a teen driver's concept?" And I was like, "Yeah, why not?" And the first call opens up, and the gentleman was like, "You know, my partner built one of the most successful driver safety programs at the largest package delivery service companies on earth." And I was like, okay.
FedEx or UPS, right?
You know,
which one?
I'm listening, right? And we went through it and had no background or experience in it. But, you know, having done so many different industries, you're looking back and you're reminiscing about all the problems that certain industries would have. And mm-hmm. I mean, I was just checking box, box after box. And I can honestly say this is the most fragmented industry, the most boring, the least competitive industry as far as technology and sophistication.
Okay, interesting. And are you now sprinkling in your Zach dust with all of your operating systems and truing it up to be a brand that's replicable across the U.S., technology, CRM systems, accountability, KPIs. You have a go-to strategy, what I've learned about you over the years, that you just keep overlaying your successful methodology on each brand. And I'm sure you're going to get into that today.
Right. So from the last venture, I took 5 to 6 of the best people with me, that they were the ones that did the heavy liftings, the ones
right.
that built the things themselves. You know, I think one of the things I've experienced is there's actually a Steve Jobs quote where they talk about how the traditional management doesn't work. And so when I looked at that, I thought, these are the people that actually built the most important parts of our company. And they came with to build this next thing with me.
Good. You know, it's interesting that this comes to me, this brand too. So my son just went through driving school. He just went through something very similar to this. Talk to us a little bit about the brand, what you're bringing to the table, how you execute the model.
Right. So I'll go back to that story. And so Fred Westdale is the owner, and they launched this business in Grand Rapids, Michigan over 20 years ago. And so the first thing that I did is I flew up and I did a ride along with Fred. And I was in that ride along. It was like they were speaking a different language. I heard this young gal say, there's a hyena on my butt. And I'm thinking, what's a hyena? And then all of a sudden, Fred said, "Hey, now there's a crocodile coming up here. Be careful." So when I'm done, I'm like, "So Fred, first of all, what's a crocodile?" And he said, what was that? That's somebody getting ready to pull out of a parking lot where if you're not careful, they'll drag you to your death. I was like, wow. Okay, I'm going to remember that. And then I said, and then what about a hyena? He goes, oh, they're the worst drivers, Zach. They bust if all the other cars, they have road rage, and you know, they're the worst drivers on the road. And so they built this really unique curriculum that is more engaging, fun, and most importantly, memorable for teenagers to help them identify risk before catastrophe.
Okay.
And through that first part, I was falling down the rabbit hole of interest. And then I watched, they did a parents night where it was talking about don't drive like, you know, reinforcing the training methods and remembering that your kids are going to drive like you. And so they're like, who here looks at their phone and texts while they drive? And I was thinking, gosh, I need that. And then, who speeds? I was like, oh, gosh, I need that. And Fred was like, your kids are going to mimic how you drive. So if you don't reinforce our methods here, then we really can't be 100% effective with long-term sustainable training. And so it was such a unique approach to how they do this that there's just nothing else like it out in the marketplace.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I like it. But you're doing, my son didn't do any classroom. It was showing up at my driveway. My understanding is that you actually have a classroom. You're doing in the seats training and then getting behind that wheel training.
So there are different states have different rules. So you can do instructor led classroom, but where they're coming into a place, which I do believe is the most effective. We do instructor led virtual training. And then there is some portions that can be self-led. And then we're getting behind the wheel with the kids to basically reinforce in real life scenarios what we're teaching them in the classroom set.
Okay. Where are you getting these drivers? Where are you finding the folks to teach? And I think you're teaching that Smith system, which I always thought was Fred Smith's system, but it's not.
So there's a lot of similarities to the Smith system. And so this, when you get a certification from a state, it makes you easily recruitable, number one. We can find those people, and then we can work on creating better opportunities for them. Now, you also can find people that want to work with kids. And if you think about teachers and coaches, that's a perfect person to be a part-time instructor that can make extra money. And then they can go through that program and get certified.
Okay. Just for the audience, I didn't realize the market cap on something like this. It's a $1.7 billion industry in the United States with a compounded annual growth rate. This is very interesting. And this might be the second time I've set a number this high. It has a CAGR, a compounded annual growth rate, of nearly 15% over the last 3 years. That is very interesting. And that goes to show you parents are fearful. There are a ton of accidents. There's a ton of deaths. Nobody trusts teenagers behind the wheel. Everybody wants a discount on their insurance. To see this kind of growth, considering we're having fewer babies, but yet 15% nearly CAGR is insane.
Well, if you think about when you were growing up, did you have a cell phone when you were driving at 16?
No.
I didn't either. I mean, I can't imagine now being that age with that additional distraction. And, you know, growing up, again, I was riding my bike around town, 8-10 years old. Now, I mean, you might get arrested if you do that. So there's definitely a level of fear that's different than from when we grew up that is in place with parents today. And there is far more distractions out there that kids have to deal with.
It's we're all dealing with it. Everybody's dealing with the same stuff. You've heard from some incredible franchise brands right here on the podcast. If you're sitting there wondering which opportunity might be the right fit for you, we're here to help. At Phrenosity, we offer free consulting services to aspiring small business owners just like you. We'll guide you through a focused, strategic process to help you identify the best franchise match. Call or text us at 561-277-3710. Or visit us on the web at phrenosity.com. That's phrenosity.com. We look forward to working with you. Let's get into how are you getting? So I understand the drivers, right? You're now registered with the state, makes it easier to recruit. Everyone I called here in my state, I'm in Florida, they're all retired police officers. Like nearly all of these guys that were driving had driving experience, or they were like the FedEx people. I didn't realize how much training goes into UPS and FedEx. Yeah. Well, where are you getting the students? How are you acquiring these paying customers?
Well, this is something that I think is an issue in franchising right now, because that I think digital advertising has gotten so disrupted since COVID. And coming from home services, you know, it was a struggle for Meta and Google Ads now, especially with AI coming in. And I do most of my searches on ChatGPT now. The world is changing. And so when I went up and I visited Fred, your question is exactly what I asked of Fred. So how'd you get busy? How'd you get that first wave that got you over the hump? And he looked down and he leaned back. Oh, Zach, we did a mailer once and we didn't know what to do. We were so busy. And then wow. I waited for the next thing. The only paid advertisement that they have ever done is one mailer. Now, I don't anticipate it being that easy. And so we have a really interesting way that we're driving students into the location. So based on that, we're going with this three-phase philosophy. Number one is building awareness so that we can become known. Then we get to second phase, which is conversion with urgency and offers. And three, which is the referral system, where we're using the kids to drive kids into the locations, which I'll talk about here in a second. So we've got a budget that we go into schools. They go something like this. Hey, my name is Zach. I own a business here that teaches kids how to drive safely. And we're on a mission to save as many teen lives as possible. I've got a budget that I'd like to donate to the school to underfunded activities and programs. Who can I come in and meet with to set something up?
Nice.
And they immediately give you the person. You come in. We've got a giant check. We've got a ton of stuff that they can hand out. And then we also do have content that we're using on Meta to build awareness. From there, we have a mailer that goes out to homes that have 15 and 16 year old kids that live within them. Live within the homes within 5 miles of the locations. And then we have some paid Google ads that have more call to action discounts. Okay. From there, this is where it gets, you know, you talked about that, Zach Dust. So we have a system that integrates with the CRM. So just imagine, Cliff, that we're in this classroom together and the instructor says, hey, who wants to make $50, $100, $200 today? My fee would have been raised so high. So in Omaha, we're doing a $50 referral fee. They scan the QR code, they text out personalized invitations to their friends. Their friends click the link, go on and buy, and it will immediately send them $50 that they can download right into their Venmo, bank account, et cetera.
This is for kids. Or anyone, but the kids, this is significant. They all know people.
Yeah, so rather
than little recruiters.
I referred this person and I had to track it all. It just automatically does it. And so we've got that portion built in. And so what we really do think our hurdle is going to be is you fill up your classes and now all of a sudden you want to open up more classes, but you have to have an instructor. So that's where we're really building out some independent recruitment strategies that can help franchisees find the instructors at a faster pace.
Okay. I like it. Good strategies. I like getting in the school. I like that you're leading in with, I want to give you money instead of everyone cold calling, wanting to receive the benefits from the school. It's like, no, we're aligned. I'll cut you a check. Quid pro quo, push my brand. Let me advertise in the school. Let me acquire customers. Who is the customer? Meaning, are you solely focused on teenage drivers? Are you doing elderly? Are you doing professions? Anything outside of the students?
You know, some of the best advice that I've gotten is focus creates wealth and diversification preserves it. And so I like concepts that have a core service that is a focus. Now, our core service is teen driving education. It is very easy for us to add curriculums to our CRM or immigrant and elderly. Those aren't there. They're actually available at the Grand Rapids location. I would rather it be a smaller part of the revenue so we can be focused on the teens. We're looking to bring an additional revenue stream in Q4 of this year is court mandated services.
Okay.
Again, with a teen focus where if a teen, unfortunately gets in some trouble, we can provide that training at a facility that's designed for teenagers and differentiate ourselves from other places that.
Okay. I like that. So the revenue streams right now are, if you broke down revenue streams, it's nearly 100% teen student driving instruction.
It's a program curriculum. Now, There is additional action specific. You know, we can do parallel parking. We can do rush hour training. They can sign up for additional training time and hours.
Okay.
But it's primarily the core service.
Okay, got it. Yeah, that was one of my concerns with the model. Is this one and done, or there is repeat business built in there? Naturally, if a child is the oldest, there's another child, we know where to go, or I want him to take another defensive training class or a parallel parking class, so on.
So I think where we'd like to take, right now it is 100% one and done. What I liked is that Fred spends very little on advertising, you know, and that advertising is more charity type activities. Now he's not paying for campaigns or
stipends.
So it's very residual in nature. But, you know, if you think about what other trainings do teens need, you know, there's babysitting, hunter safety, CPR. There's other things that we can't provide because we'll have a classroom that could potentially be some additional revenue. But still looking at, I like this brand because the core focus keeps the lights on shining bright.
Okay, got it. Zach, you're a smart guy. You've built a lot of brands. Like you have vision. How do you respond to, we're entering an era of autonomous driving, right? Whether it's a Tesla, Waymo, and all these concepts where people don't need to drive anymore. How do you feel about that, it being in a driving school business?
Well, that was a concern, you know, the future, and, you know, obviously technology can be disruptive. And so I went into a logical pros and cons. And so the average age of a vehicle on the road right now is nearly 13 years old.
Yeah.
So for autonomous driving to completely take over, you know, we have a long way to go for that infrastructure to completely be replaced. Now, if you think about how efficient the government is, which we all know the answer is that it's not, they are not going to be able to customize licensing programs for people that, I need a license to drive some of the time, none of the time. It's going to be all or nothing. So we are, you know, coming from the roofing and insulation industry, I am very confident that the roofing product material will be disrupted before the driver's program.
Okay. All right. What are you thinking, like, runway? You think you got at least 10-year runway in there before disruption? Do you have a time cycle?
It's at minimum 30 to 40. And if you think, are we really all going to stop driving?
I won't.
Right.
I won't.
I think there could be more public transportation.
But, right.
You know, we're a long ways for that to happen. I think we would have to be more airborne, where there's a certain type of transportation system that's for autonomous that can go at a faster pace than that eliminates human error. But, you know, what happens to that? The other infrastructure, I mean, we're a long ways from.
I didn't know this. So I was assuming when I thought jungle driving, I'm thinking about vehicles and people. I was not thinking brick and mortar space. Break this location down. And my follow-up question to that is, if I'm in a state that doesn't require in-classroom training, are you going to allow me to just buy the vehicles and acquire the people? Or no, stay true to the market. We want them in the seats and doing in-person instruction.
So I think we need to make sure that, A, we look at what consumers want. And right now, even in states that have virtual options, you're finding that there's still a huge demand for in-classroom training.
Okay.
And I think parents going through COVID, I think they really believe that if my kid does this online, they're not going to pay attention. They'll be completely distracted. Now, on the other hand, I do look at it and go, people are getting busier. So, you know, how do we win and still yet stay true to the promise that I made Fred, which is that we're not going to sacrifice dollars in a kid's lives, is that we need to be able to be flexible with the services we provide. And our virtual option has to be different and engaging in effect. And so, in lots of states that have virtual options as well, you have the ability to become a third-party testing facility, which you do have to have a location that's approved. So right now, it's a 2,500-square-foot minimum location with two classrooms and an office. You know, if you think about having 8 to 10 cars and a place where people maybe want to come talk and set up meetings, there's going to be a need for brick and mortar or an area, but it's Class B, classy, off the beaten path real estate.
Okay.
It's not retail or high end Class A.
All right. That's good. Much less expensive build out, much less expensive in those. Is it retail or no? It could be office space on the second, third floor. You don't care.
Right. Well, so no, you want to an insurance company in Omaha.
Okay. That's good. That cuts the expenses. So while we're there, what is the total investment? What's your range on the item seven?
190 to 313. Now, there is a $0 to $40,000 build out depending on if they find a vanilla shell and need to add some walls, et cetera. You know, there's costs there. But you know, in those situations, they're going to be getting tenant improvement allowance, which we don't include in the item seven. Okay. In Omaha, we did zero improvements, like absolutely zero. And so that's a big part of that range. And then the other part is in the amount of rent and insurance is really dependent by state. So there's a big variance there with the state requirements and state costs.
Okay. All right. I like that. I don't want to be Class A. I like that I could be in office space. Office space is much less expensive. And in many times, it's someone already put 100, 150 into it and build out. Law firm, accounting firm, engineering firm. There could already be some good build out there where I have the offices that could become classrooms. Because I think you wanted, how many, you wanted two or three classrooms, right?
Well, you really need a classroom and then the ability, like an open area for a second classroom or two classrooms.
Okay.
Now, the amount of subleasable space out there in Class B right now is substantial.
Yeah.
So we found a sublease, and the rule on, you know, the rule that we found is you should be able to sublease and take over about 70% of the liability of the previous tenant. So you can actually deal, which is exactly what we did.
I like that. What are the hours of operation? Is this a 7 day week business or five?
It's 6 days a week right now. Now during the school year, it's really a 3 to 8 o'clock type business.
Okay.
Which is where I really get excited about court mandated services, where, you know, there's going to be some time in the day where we could hold some other classes. And then, you know, just like any business, there is always a busier part of the year, which obviously is the summer. And so in the summer, we're all day long.
Okay. Got it. Staffing model. What does that look like? Obviously every vehicle has to have a driver. We have some admin. Do we have outside salespeople? What's staffing look like?
So one of the things that we have done is we've really taken almost all of the need of administrative tasks and automated them through technology, from payments and scheduling, et cetera. So we start a location with two certified drivers. So if a franchisee is going to be an owner operator, we want them to have that certification and they would drive and teach and they have one additional. Mm-hmm. Now, if they're going to be, you know, they're going to have a manager and, you know, play that manager role, they'd have a GM who would be that person and then one other instructor.
Okay. Let's get into the meat of it. So we have the model, we have the footprint, we have the investment, we understand the staffing, we know where you're acquiring customers, how you're acquiring drivers. The tech stack is a big piece, your CRM component, how are you helping franchisees with scheduling, probably marketing, remarketing to people, follow-ups. I know you're one and done, but there could be something there like, hey, you ever want to take a defensive driving class? Or like you said, learn how to parallel park without destroying your car or your rims, right?
Right.
So we have that. And then now you may even implement this court mandated, which would increase revenue, be different frequency. So we're 6 days a week. Now the earnings claim. Does this thing make money? It's unique. I never heard of a brand doing this. This is a first for me. Maybe even for you, it's a first for a driving school franchise concept. Can you make money doing it? What's the item 19 earnings claim?
So there's a story to be told here. So Fred is in his late 70s, and they were going to franchise this business in 2018 and 19. And COVID obviously hit and shook the world up, and Fred's partner died in 2021.
Oh, wow.
And then the next week, Fred's son passed away of an autoimmune disease. And that was the second, kid that Fred's had to bury young, which is, you know, really why, you know, he's even motivated more than other in protecting kids' lives. And so their business right now, 21% to the bottom line after all fees, they did just under $600,000 in revenue. And I love it because when you talk to Fred, he basically says that he's as busy as he wants to be. He's making more money than he needs. And, you know, he's at a 39% occupancy.
Okay.
So when you look at the amount of classes that he can schedule, he's at 39% of the available scheduled classes, which means that he has the vehicles. It's already built into the curriculum. All he needs to do is click a button and say open. And it was an actual learning experience for me. We convinced Fred to go from 25 to 35 kids per class. And talking to him, I was like, hey, let's get some of these new advertising things that we're working on. Let's get them tested at your location. And, you know, Fred snipped back and said, you know, Zach, they're just going to fill up and I'm going to be stressed and I'm not going to be able to attend your traction meetings, whatever you call them anymore.
Mm.
And that was a learning, that was a real learning moment for me because it took 72 hours for his capacity on those existing classes to just add the additional seats.
Okay, I have a question in there. So you've increased the headcount. How does that actually work when you now, how many vehicles do you need to have with a classroom that big? You're just rotating drivers? How does that work?
Yeah, so basically when you schedule the classes with the available seats, then it opens up or you would have to open up the number of drives and it builds it all into the CRM where you're essentially, you put rules in to say that we want all of the drivers to get their driving done within this many days of the class. And then it shows you how many things that you need to open. And then you have to assign them to different instructors, which if you don't have enough instructors, they won't let you do. And so at Fred's location, as an example, he's got 10 vehicles utilizing about half of them. You know, he's got vehicles that are paid off, obviously. And so you know, for his location, he's got 3 full-time instructors, including himself, and then 2 part.
Wow, that's insane. 600,000 at 39% capacity, easily double, triple the size of the company with a real push.
Well, and you know me, I'm like, let's go. And you know, Fred's answer to me is like, I'm going to be 80 years old.
Yeah,
I don't want to be any busier.
Right.
And so, you know, that I had to put myself in Fred's shoes sometimes to make sure that I'm not pushing too hard. But, I've never been more excited about, as a franchisor, managing parts of the business that created the most frustration compared to other things.
Just for the audience, he mentions traction meetings and Zach's a big fan of the Entrepreneur Operating System, and it's from a book called Traction. The author is, I think it's Gino Wickman.
Yeah, Gino Wickman, yeah.
Gino. And this has been implemented in some very successful franchise concepts. Apparently a game changer, just really drills down on those 6 key components: vision, accountability, the tools, what you just mentioned. You're going to meet and you're going to hold people accountable and you're going to go through the KPIs and you can have these traction meetings and all the stuff, data, using data to make business decisions. For anyone listening, you want to be in business, you want to be self-employed, or you're already in business, want to be successful, read the book Traction, learn about it, immerse yourself in it. It has definitely, Zach, would you say it's changed your life, your business life?
I have been through 3 implementations. I've implemented it 2 times for different companies myself. And I'm not even nearly as qualified to do that. I can honestly tell you the thing I tell candidates is, regardless if we're the right partner for you or not, I cannot stress how important it is to build your business on a great foundation of accountability and results.
Yeah.
And I'm a visionary, so I'm all over the place. And I have these fantastic people that, you know, put up with me per se. And if it wasn't for Traction, you know, they wouldn't have a way to really manage what that looks like.
That's right. Right. That earnings claim at 39%, I'm digesting what you said. So 600,000, 20% net, I'm dropping 120 to the bottom line. What's the average ticket? How do you extrapolate that?
Fred's around $700 for the average ticket.
For an average ticket.
Now,
okay.
The reason that I believe there hasn't been a national franchise in this space is that every state is a little different. And what I know from franchising, having grown brands somewhat aggressively, is that you have to have the infrastructure prior to the growth.
Right.
If I was, you know, this was my first brand, and I went into franchising, it would be really intimidated to have to hire the people to build those different curriculums by state and have the infrastructure. And it would be extremely expensive, especially if you're not doing the development in-house. And so I think that's been a big hurdle for this industry and why there hasn't been great, you know, great national brands going across the country.
Okay. Interesting. I understand. You're looking for that easy, you know, replication. And if you have the nuances of all these unique state, like I just said, my state doesn't require it. Yours does. We just went from 2,500 square feet to no square feet. Like literally. Now I understand the execution of the model, and you may want to remain consistent because the consumer wants their child in the classroom. But yeah, you have to manage those little differences.
There's 37 states that require driver's education. Nebraska is actually a state that doesn't.
Okay.
But when we went and looked at the largest competitor, Omaha, for an example, they were fully booked with every seat for 4 months. And they're a classroom. They're a classroom that does 3 8-hour sessions, which, you know, I couldn't do with, you know, 10 cups of coffee a day. Now they asked me to do that. So I don't know how I'm kidding.
Are you seeing these classes translate to lower insurance premiums for the parents adding these children?
There's absolutely something about keeping it or lowering the insurance by going through a program. Where the real savings is preventing accidents. An accident, having a teen going through an accident is going to raise the insurance by nearly 25, sometimes 40%. And so, actually a great stat from Michigan, where the founding location is, 4 out of 5, the University of Michigan did this study, 4 out of 5 kids will go through some sort of accident in the first 3 years of having their driver's license. And the same survey done out of Jungle Driving Dome in Grand Rapids, that same statistic with over 1,000 surveys answered by parents, it was 1 out of 5.
Okay.
So preventing the accident is what would keep the rates down.
Absolutely. Totally agree with that. It's interesting. They actually just had a meeting with Warren Buffett and his team about this because they own Geico. It's like, how do you see these future changes, future drivers, autonomous vehicles? And like, yeah, they are aware it's going to change. Just because the vehicle could drive for you doesn't mean you shouldn't learn how to drive. I mean, I would never put myself or my family in a situation where, no. The world will do everything for you. You don't need to think anymore. You don't need to do anything anymore. I appreciate your answer, and I happen to agree. Any parent that's like, nope, you don't need to do it. Just let the car drive you. There will be issues.
So one of the things that I learned in franchising is, this goes way back. As my days when I was a complete attrition franchisee, our core service changed so much that we had to constantly, it was like a roller coaster, and we had to constantly reinvent ourselves to stay afloat. And one of the ways that we found success is we micromanaged a lot of effort-based activities at the store level.
Right.
And, the way that I've come to look at this now is there's a result, which is a KPI that you're trying to hit or improve. There's activities that you typically know will attribute that. So let's just call it new customers. So you want more new customers. There's activities such as putting yard signs out and going to B&I and things that that are going to lead to more new customers. But how do you manage the effort of the activity? And so one of the things that I knew is that people get into business and don't know how hard it is. And I've had plenty of low performer franchisee calls, and where my mind always goes first is, you know, it's like that, as it, the John Wooden, you make sure you put your socks on, tie your shoes. I go to the things that I know that, well, let's just make sure that we're doing bare minimum. You know, did we invite your friends and family to like your Facebook page? Did we ask for character reviews on Google? Did we, did you put out your yard signs? And a lot of times the answer that I would give was like, oh yeah, we did all that. And then I'm thinking, there's no way. So then I start asking questions. I'm like, wait, you never even logged in to this. When I went down to your location, all your yard signs hadn't been opened up yet.
That's right.
And so we created this program through technology, and I'm calling it Milestones. And I talked to another franchisor that's built a business and had a big exit. And I said, what are your thoughts on creating an incentive-based program and gamifying effort that you know creates success in the business? And the answer that I got was, you shouldn't have to pay someone to run their business correctly. And my mind went, but as a franchisor, what if it works? You know, and I can make a C player more successful. And so we created this milestone program where we're building in this culture of accountability of effort. And so for an example, the yard signs is a great example. There's a milestone for yard signs. You have to put 25 yard signs, but you have to take a picture of every one and drop a pin in the system of where it's at.
Where it's located. Okay.
And a franchise business coach will review it all and they approve it. And then you get that milestone and you get awarded jungle bucks that you can use for things.
Okay.
We have one for B&I. And I actually learned this from a regional manager that worked with me in the past where, you know, their promo code for B&I referrals was crazy. I said, what are you guys doing? Are you guys giving away free stuff? He goes, no, I just make sure that I make them send me all the pictures of them going to the meetings. And so there's a B&I or like a networking, actually called, I'm looking at pictures, called Network of Denial is what it's called. And you get this milestone, but you have to go to 5 B&I meetings in a row. You have to take a selfie picture with yourself there and post it on Facebook and then upload the link. And then you have to, in the same 5-week period, meet with 5 different members for lunch, posting the receipt, again, a selfie of picture of you at lunch with it posted to Facebook with the link. And we've got about 50 of these now where from a franchisee, I can say, hey, there's all of these things that you can do that are really cost effective, that are effort based, that might make some people a little bit uncomfortable, but they still have to be done. And by simply doing them with effort, we can get results. And so then we can look at the time it takes to get those milestones and some of those milestones, reset. And so we're really building in this program where I'm being completely transparent with franchisees is we are going to micromanage you to do these. So that way, when you want to go sit on a beach and drink cocktails and know if the business is being run correctly, you can open your phone, click the app and just look at the effort and make sure it's been verified. And so
I like it.
This is something that I think in franchising, customer acquisition, is under the importance of that. I think everyone knows you have to get customers, but from a franchisor, they're just, you hand them over to vendors and you expect to write a check and get marketing dollars. And it doesn't always work that way. And so we really need franchisees to build a brand and get out there and build a community. And that's how you build a really strong business following. And so we've built this program through technology that really allows franchisees to check the box and make sure that they've got everything done. And then we'll find new best practices that franchisees do that we can upload and make new milestones.
I like it a lot.
So now imagine that there's a dashboard that helps you manage the business from all of your numbers and KPIs. And then you can actually see the number of milestones received by each location. You can click and see what they've all done. And then you can see where you're
at. It.
And you can see your exact performance and how many milestones you've done. And this is something that in my last venture that I really was trying to get implemented and just couldn't get the buy-in from some of the leadership team that really didn't have the franchise experience. And
I thought you were going to do a royalty, like a laddered royalty scale. Aren't you doing something with royalties?
So we're doing something unique. It's based on the number of locations. So the day you open the second location, both locations drop 0.5%. The day you open the third, each one of them drops another 0.5%. So you're really at, you're dropping at 1% just by opening another location and it's not tied to revenue. Now with this, we are looking at different royalty relief, marketing programs where we can say, hey, for these are different things you can spend your points on.
Yeah.
And, I have to be confident that these things are going to move the needle. And so if I know that it's going to drive more revenue, why couldn't they use those points to offset some royalties? If I don't have confidence in what, if they're doing more revenue, that creates more royalties. If these create more revenue, then why not reward that?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. I like it. I've seen it work before. I've also seen rankings. Nobody wants to be on the bottom. Nobody wants to be the only location that doesn't hand out their yard signs. No one wants to be the visible loser in the system. People are comfortable being a loser as long as no one's calling them out and you're not putting in a spreadsheet, letting everyone know that they're failing because people will talk a good game. If there's transparency to this program, it'll be a game changer.
It creates self-accountability and, I don't deal with excuses and I've heard that on my market. I don't know how many times I've heard franchisees say, this just doesn't work in my market. And they sold the business and the person coming in we were charging as much as we could, and they literally would double the price of the average ticket in that market.
Right.
I don't know how many times I've saw that. So the mindset is really important in business.
Yeah, I agree. So many people, they don't believe their own price. And then new blood comes in. They're like, yeah, we're going to double it. Oh, you're going to lose all your customers. No, we actually grew the business. Price is only an issue in the absence of value. You add a ton of value, you could charge a premium. I mean, people really don't know where the threshold is for pricing. They just get in their own way with head trash that their price is too high. And if you believe that, well, then you're right. It's like that old saying, right? If you believe you can or can't, you're absolutely right.
Well, I just had a conversation with a marketing vendor about that, like what you just said about value should justify the price.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was going round and round and round. And I said, you aren't answering my question. The value is there. How do you, as the customer acquisition, when to communicate and get in front of the consumer that the value is there? That is like, don't worry about what the value is. From a marketing perspective, how do you plan to get it in front of the person that's going to be buying the service?
Right.
And, you know, that's where they're talking a big game until they actually had to get down to strategy.
Right. I get it. This was great, man. It's good having you back. Great learning more about your brand. You're working on a lot of things. You're challenging the status quo. I like it. You're taking a unique model to the market. That's a disruptor in some respects. You're disrupting an industry that's really highly fragmented. No one knows the name of their local student driver. No one knows the name of their local dry cleaner. No one knows the name of their local car wash. Like, these are just the most highly fragmented businesses, and you're basically franchising, consolidating, and branding. I think it's great. Knowing you're behind it, I think it'll be a huge success. And I want to thank you for coming back on the show.
Yeah, great for having me, man. You gotta have me back soon.
Absolutely, bud. All right, take care, man. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to like and subscribe so you never miss out on more great content. And if you're considering investing in a franchise, whether it's the brand you featured today or another opportunity, we're here to help. Visit us at franocity.com. That's FRANOCITY.com. We'd love to help you take that next step towards business ownership.